Is this thing turned on right? I'll never forget, years ago, me and my brother preacher, Brother Don Medley, was preaching in a church over in Grayson County. We was preaching revival. And they had us put one of these on. And so we got up and spoke, and I remember tonight that Brother Don got up there and spoke. And when he sat down, he forgot to turn it off. And he was sitting down there on the bench blowing his nose. And you could hear it all over the church. And we laughed. Don thought that's funnier than anything he's ever done. You don't have to know Don, but I tell you, I miss that guy. I really do. He's real kind to me. He's kind of like Chad talking about. He always, always just let us loose and, you know, be able to preach with, you know, not holding back. And you run into a few like that. Brother Don's gone now. I miss him a lot. I miss a lot of people a lot. But one thing about it, one of these days is going to be a glad reunion day. And maybe me and Don can tell some of the best stories I've ever heard. I just couldn't, you know, I can't remember them. But Don, he could remember them. And I'm looking forward to us sitting side by side and sitting down and him just telling some stories and just laughing and carrying on. We'll have big time when that time comes. But I just want to say to each and every one of you, I appreciate you. Appreciate Chad and introduction like that, and appreciate what, you know, I'm still learning. I hadn't got it all. I hadn't even come close. You know, things come up that a lot of times that you don't know, and when you find the truth in it, why not go with it? And so I appreciate Chad and Jonathan when they was over there, and we just, you know, just learn together and still learning. I'm still learning from y'all, that's for sure. And I appreciate the teaching of the Word and how that you love the Word and how that you love to just come together and worship the Lord. So today we're going to talk about a familiar subject, this being the first day of what they call Passion Week. And this is about Palm Sunday. And so I just thought I'd just look it up and say, see what is Palm Sunday. I'm going to get over here just a little bit. But Palm Sunday is the Sunday before Easter. So that makes it today. And that starts the Holy Week. On this holiday, we commemorate and praise the day Jesus entered Jerusalem as Savior and King. And we certainly believe that. If we didn't believe that, we wouldn't be here today. You know, I'm glad that I saw the truth. And I'm glad that Jesus is the truth and He's a way and the life. And this really helped me and to knowing that I had a promise. You know, here I am, man, I don't know, I'm up in pretty good age. I remember when Bill and Melinda was coming to the first church I ever pastored. Y'all remember that? How many years? Been that long? And I praise God for them. I tell you, everyone that I've ever been around has been a blessing in a way. And I remember Melinda got baptized. Do you remember that? Got baptized in Lost Lake. Now, isn't that something? A saved person got baptized in Lost Lake. And it was cold. My goodness, was it cold. But they wanted to be baptized, so we done it. So when I got out in the water, I stood there so long, when I come back, I almost couldn't get back up. My legs was froze stiff. But you know, I like to remember the good times. Man, that was a good time, wasn't it? We used to have picnics, enjoy yourself, and Chad can remember that. I guess there's four people here that was during that time. Anyone else? I can't remember anyone else being there, but it's Bill and Melinda and Debbie and Chad, and it was good. We had great times. But now the years has passed, and I've gone on up in age, and getting where I can't get around like I used to. I couldn't imagine being out there in that water right now. I guess I'd just fall down and drowned. But back then, I was young. It makes a lot of difference when you're young. But we see that Jesus entered Jerusalem as Savior and King. So much in that right there. And as Jesus rode a donkey out of town, into the town of Jerusalem, a great crowd gathered and laid palm branches and their cloaks across the road, giving Jesus royal respect and honor. The crowds of people shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Well, I love those songs y'all sang. I tell you, that was a blessing. I just love good songs that lift up the Lord. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Okay, Chad, we'll look at the next one. Now we see the coming of Zion's king. I'm going to read this verse, Zechariah 9:9. That's prophecy. You know, the Bible's full of prophecy. It talks about different things. And we've been a studying here on the other Sundays that we don't have the fellowship and gathering together about the different things in the Scriptures. And I'm really enjoying that. I tell you, I am learning and learning and learning. You know, one time I thought I knowed about everything, but now I find out I don't know hardly anything. And that's good, because the person that knows everything, you ain't going to be able to teach them anything. So I feel like I'm going to be extremely teachable. That's for sure. But it says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes unto you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, when you first look at that, do you see a problem with that? That's what we've been looking at. We've been looking kind of, you know, maybe some problems with Scripture. Not that it's not true, it's just something that we don't comprehend all the time. What do you see there? How many owns a donkey in here? Or has owned, right? Look here. Okay. How many would jump on a colt of a donkey without having it ridden first? I mean, unless you were some kind of cowboy or something. I don't even know about riding a donkey. They can be mean. They can be mean sometimes, can't they? You know, I remember riding a motorcycle. I was riding down this fence line, and I looked up beside me, and there's a donkey. And it was running right beside me just as hard as it could go. And I was just imagining, I bet he'd like to get a hold of me. I don't know, but now I know that coyotes and stuff, they don't like them, do they? They'll stomp them. I've seen that on different things. But to ride a colt of a donkey, probably it's never been broken, I would think. But here comes Jesus. Comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly, riding on a donkey. Not only just donkey. I know Bill Melinda remembers this, but remember that time we had that Christmas parade? We was in the Christmas parade over at Sugar Grove. And we had, you know, couldn't think anything to do. We didn't make no float or anything, but we wanted to be in the parade because, you know, we just like to be in there. And we had me and Rodney dressed up as shepherds, and I think it was all in there, and then Teresa, is that her name? Yeah. Teresa riding a donkey. And she was so tall that her feet drug the ground. And I'll never forget that. Remember the good times, man. I mean, we had a blast. Why, you don't have to go around being so religious that you can't have fun. And there we was in Sugar Grove amongst all those floats and stuff. Here come me, Rodney, dressed as shepherds, carrying a staff. And Teresa, we was leading Teresa on that donkey and her feet just dragging the ground. Yeah, Ronald was a shepherd too. I forgot about that. Ronald and Teresa and me and Rodney. Ronald was her husband. Ronald's kind of a short feller. She's about 6 foot tall. But we had good times. And that was at the first church I pastored. And so we see right here that that could be a problem. But you know what? If Jesus can walk on water, if Jesus can raise the dead, if Jesus can calm the storms, certainly he can ride a donkey on a colt and not be thrown off, because he controls everything. I just happen to think about that. You know, we've been looking at different things, like in Genesis and Exodus and different things, and kind of looking at Scripture and saying, what do you see that's kind of out of place? Why would he come like that? Well, we know one thing. He wants to show humility. The creator of the universe, and that's what it says in John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There wasn't anything created without him that was created. But he's coming riding in on a donkey. And maybe that thing might have been hollering pretty good. I don't know. You ever hear them things holler? They'll keep you awake, I'm sure. But on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And then we look over here in Matthew 21, we see this prophecy fulfilled. It's coming to pass. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey, a foal of a beast of burden. What's that song, I'll never be your beast of burden? Well, you know, a beast of burden. But now, in the future, what's Jesus going to be riding?
A white horse.
A white horse. That's right. A horse, a show of power. And white, a show of purity. A pure white horse. But now he's riding on a beast of burden. And he's going to have to go through the burden of redeeming the world. He's going to take the sin of the entire world. And he is going to redeem us from that, because he can and because he will. So if he can do that, surely he can ride on a colt that's never been broken. I don't know if it's broken or not. It may have been. But to me, it just don't seem feasible that somebody'd ride a little colt and it be broken. Okay, Jay. So we see the word Hosanna. What it actually means is, please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. And we're going to look at this in its context here in just a little bit. But please, Lord, please save us. You know, when it comes to it, everybody needs salvation. We all need to be saved. We all need to be brought out somehow of this mess. And it is a mess out there. I was talking to Paul earlier. And do you remember how many kids was in the senior high when we was graduating? You have any idea, Debbie? There was quite a few, wasn't it? Filled up that auditorium. And Paul says nowadays there's just not that many. There's something happening. There's something going on. There's something that needs to be changed. There are some things that need to be better. I mean, we can see it in society. We can see it out here in things that's going on. And so we're crying out. I'm crying out. You know, I feel so sorry for kids nowadays. I feel so sorry a lot of times for a lot of them. And I feel so sorry for people that just, you know, they're crying out. They don't know what they need. But they're crying out. But I'm glad that God hears. How many is glad that God hears? I mean, has he ever turned a deaf ear on you? No, and he never will. Now, he may not answer prayers exactly like you want it. You know, I used to pray, Lord, I want you to just fix things exactly the way I want them fixed. And it didn't happen. He fixes things exactly the way that needs to be fixed. And God is God, and he will work, and he will redeem. But please, Lord, please save us. A begging. You know, I'm just a beggar. I'm just a beggar wanting to find out where I can find bread. And Jesus is a bread of life. I'm hungry. I need bread. I need something to eat. And you can tell I've, you know, I don't need a whole lot, but I still need to eat from every now and then. Please save us. Lord, please, Lord, give us success. I mean, who don't want to be successful? You know, I always kind of went, I was talking to Paul, you know, I never thought, when I was going to school, I never thought one time about not graduating. I mean, that's just part of life back then. We went to school, we graduated. But now so many kids are dropping out of school. And where are they going to find success? What's going to go on? You know, kind of the future, looking at a lot of things, is a little scary. But praise God, we still got good students. We got people that love to go to school. And we got people that does real well. Do you know any, Chad? Just tell me about Greg Blevins' daughter. You know, I worked with Greg for years, a good man. In fact, he played. Remember when we had service over here was Holiday Inn? Whatever that place over there. And we had that group come in. He played the mandolin. Greg's a good guy. And he done good at work, and he still does good. And his daughter done really good. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of kids like that. But now, the sad part is, I think a lot of times it happens with the family. I don't know. I tell you, I'm not to judge. But please, Lord, give us success. I want to see people succeed. I don't want to see people hurting. I don't want to see people down and out. I don't want to see people discouraged. That's why I encourage at work. I tell you, these guys that I'm going to hopefully be training, I trained one, he took another job. It might show you that, you know, maybe my job may not be the best. And then I'm going to be a training another one if he can ever get away from his other job, because I've only got 3 months. And I want to see him succeed. I want to tell him everything I know, which ain't a whole lot, but at least he'll know something that I've trained. So please, Lord, save us. Please, Lord, give us success. Now let's look at this. This is John chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So he was popular at that time. His fame went around. They were people that knowed him. They seen what he'd done. They seen who he was. So they took the branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." So they were viewing him as the king, coming in on a lowly donkey, the foal of a donkey. In other words, not the grown one, but kind of just, I don't know how old it was. And here comes the King of Israel. Okay, Chad. Now this is one of my favorite verses. Well, probably one of the first verses I ever memorized. And I love this. "For God so loved the world." Now what's the world? That's us. Society. Everywhere. All over. I tell you, as human beings, we're all equal in God's eyes. I believe that. Now, I said that the other day, and me and Mike was just kind of kidding, but I still feel that way a lot of times, that I'm God's favorite. But then he said that he felt like maybe God was his favorite, and I said, well, maybe we're twins then. We're both his favorite. Ain't that right, brother? But God so loved the world. I remember his preacher one time was talking, and he kind of didn't like to preach about love and different things like that. And his congregation one time said, "Why don't you preach about love sometime?" He said, "Okay." So he got up and read the text, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." But how's that go on? "Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life is the things that's in the world." But the Bible says right here, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, what is eternal life? You know, I think about eternal life. If I were to go on and continue to degrade in the way, shape I am now, it wouldn't be very good, would it? I mean, I can remember back, that's kind of like Dad. You know, Dad one time, talking about grouse hunting, he couldn't get around it once he's older. He says, but boy, I remember back in my 50s, he said, I can hop from mountaintop to mountaintop. Well, I can look back to my 50s, and I can about do that then, because I loved grouse hunt. But now I don't believe I could get up one hill and down the other. But Bible says have eternal life. Now, I know that's more of a state of life, but it also refers to, you know, life in the future. Once we have life eternal. For God did not send his world son. I like this right here. This is a part that hits me. You know, so many people says, well, if you don't watch out, God's going to get you. So many preachers, you better do this, you better do that, or God's going to get you. No, what's God going to do? He sent his son into the world, not into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And that's what I like to teach, and that's what I like to preach. I like to tell people that Jesus saves. Jesus is a Savior. And then I remember Jonathan using this not too long ago, and I really liked that message. In fact, this is love for God. Does it say to keep preachers' commandments? Some of them like think so. But it says, in fact, this is a love for God to keep his commandments. Let me tell you, I can teach you the word, or I can tell you something about the Bible, but I can't make you act and react. It's no use trying. The best thing to do is tell the truth, and the truth will set you free. To tell you about the love of Jesus and let the love of Jesus set you free. In fact, this is the love for God. We love God. So that's why we do what we do or try. How many's ever failed? My hand went up right. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm far from perfect. I can tell you stories. You know, I still know I've done stuff that if my mom ever found out, if she's still living, she'd still give me good whippings. I got to tell you this. I graduated in 1974. I got married in 1974. Me and my mom and my brother were sitting out on the porch, and I was picking on my little brother. He's 5 years younger than me. So what did that make him? What? 13 years old. This was the day before I was to get married. We were sitting there on the porch, and I was picking on him. She didn't like it. She got mad. She grabbed that flask of water, and she gave me a good one. That's who my mom was, let me tell you. And you know what I done? It didn't hurt me. It didn't make me cry. But I wasn't about to pick on him anymore that day. So, you know, keep his commandments. But his commandments are not burdensome. You know, God loves us. Did mom whip me because she didn't like me? Well, no, she whipped me because I was picking on my little brother. Shouldn't have been doing it. And he, after he got big enough to whip me anyway, I stopped. In fact, he's a big, tall guy, and I wouldn't even think about picking on him now. But this is the love for God. To keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. In other words, we can follow Jesus. Now, we may make mistakes, and I'm sure we will. I know I do every day. But God loves us. Okay, Chad. Now, here is another prophecy. I like these prophecies. These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. God so loved the world. What do you see right there that kind of catches your eye? I see the last two words. Don't you? You know, I've been a few places, but Chad and Micah, excuse me, Chad, Mike, and Paul is going to go to Africa. Let me tell you, God loves them just as much as they love us. And you can see that with them. I mean, what, you just wait to get one of those services over there, Paul. I mean, they get down. They get down with it, don't they, Chad? I mean, it ain't no just sitting still and doing it. I mean, I couldn't keep up with them. I tried. I mean, I got up and tried to do the best I could with them, but I couldn't keep up with them. But they're showing that they love Jesus. Look here. Shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. And then I like this right here. This is the day the Lord's made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's one of, I guess, what you might call memory verse. But on this day, God has made this day. And we should rejoice and be glad in it. I've had people ask me at work, I say, this is a beautiful day. He says, what's so beautiful about it? I said, well, I'm alive. You know, it's no use going around feeling down all the time, even though I've done it. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Here we go. Here's Hosanna. Hosanna, save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. That's in the Psalms right there. Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. So these prophecies and these things talking about Jesus and talking about the Savior and how that he cares for us and how that he loves us and how that he done what he done for us. You know, next week is Resurrection Sunday, and I'm really looking forward to hearing the message on that next Sunday. And looking forward to be together and have a good time. You know, I remember our first Easter Sunday, and several of you was here then. And man, it's hard to believe it's been that long ago, but I feel like, you know, I've been working about it. I've been at my last job as long as we've had the church here. That's how I can remember how long it is. But we will bless you from the house of the Lord. Okay, Cherry. Now here's Paul, a man that, you know, first he started out, it's been pretty rough. He was wanting to, you know, he was wanting to actually kill the Christians if he could, or bring them to court, or do whatever it took. But God changed this man. You know, if God can change him, I believe he can change about anybody, don't you? I mean, he spoke himself. He is a Pharisee. Man, the Pharisees, they really know God's word. They really know what it said. But here he is telling a young preacher. I can remember when I was a preacher boy. Remember we called them all preacher boys? And I was a preacher boy before I ever took the church over there at, what was his name? Burns Chapel. Couldn't think of it. But you know, I remember people telling me, you know, this, that, and the other. And, I agree with a lot of stuff, but somehow you just can't agree with everything. And I'll never forget Brother Don Medley. When I was first time I was going to preach at his church, he sat down on front up there with me and told me, he said, if you preach the word and don't get into legalism, said you'll see a lot more happen. And that always stuck with me. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget him telling me. He said, just don't get into legalism. Preach the truth. Preach the word of God. Tell them about the love of Jesus. And that helped me more than anything that I know of. It's a trustworthy statement. I mean, something you can bank. Don't you like to have something? Don't you like something to put something in the bank, and then if you need it, there it is? This is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well, that ought to make you just want to do like they do in Africa, jump up and run up and down the aisles and shout and skip and jump and holler and just have a big time. You'll have fun over there, Paul. I guarantee you that. But came into the world to save sinners. And I remember reading a verse, I believe it was, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Have you read that one? That there's none righteous, no, not one. So he came and rode that donkey. Of course, he'd done a lot more before then. But this day of triumphal entry, which he called it, coming into Jerusalem, that he came there to suffer and bleed and die. But that didn't end. On the third day, he resurrected. That's the key. That done. That's what it's all about. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I know Paul probably felt like that, but I feel like I'm the worst one. Among who I am foremost of all, or it says, who I am chief. Chief's a head dog. But he came to save sinners into the world. Praise God, he loved the world. For God so loved the world. He loves people everywhere. Okay, Chad. Now, as we look at this right here, we're going to look at two different versions of this. We're going to look in Matthew and then look in John, I believe, is what I got here. But as you think about this, now we had the opportunity back in the year 2000, me and my wife, we went to the Holy Land, Israel. And we toured and we seen the Mount of Olives and we seen all this. We went to pretty much everywhere over there. And one thing that struck me about this is it's really not that big an area. You know, you think about it, Jesus really didn't go in his earthly life. He didn't really travel real far. But he was going to Jerusalem. It says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately. I mean, you ain't going to have to look, you ain't going to have to search, you ain't going to have to find. You know, you ain't going to have to spend an hour or two wandering around. I tell you, when Jesus wants something done, he got it done, didn't he? When he stilled the waves, but he said, peace be still. There they was. I mean, when he got something done, he got it done. He didn't look like me. I put off a lot. Don't believe me, ask my wife. Why do it today when you can do it tomorrow? That's kind of a motto. But then she don't like it, so I have to wind up doing it today. But Jesus, when he wanted stuff done, he got it right then. And it says, immediately, you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. I mean, right there they was. They was going in there. We didn't have to worry, didn't have to look around. Everything's going to happen all at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming into you humble. Humble. That's the reason that he rode the foal of a colt, was humble, mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of the beast of burden. And the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put them on their cloaks and sat on them, and most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, when he entered Jerusalem, it stirred up the whole city. Now, I can just imagine that. Of course, I know Jerusalem's a lot different now than it was back when Jesus was there. But that city is crowded. Remember that? We'd walk through them streets, and man, it was crowded. You had these, you know, everybody over there wants to sell you something. You can't get out of the bus. You can't do anything. They always want to sell you something. And so here's that crowd saying, the whole city was stirred up saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from the Nazareth of Galilee. But more than a prophet, he was a priest. And more than a priest, he was a king. He was the only man that could officially hold this office of prophet, priest, and king. The only one that could officially hold all three offices. This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Okay, Chad. This is from the book of John. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. Sat on the young donkey. And sat on it, just as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Now, his disciples didn't understand all this at first. You know, a lot of things that Jesus done then, they couldn't understand. Jesus was pretty good at explaining, but still, they had a lot of questions. They had a lot of things that wasn't exactly answered directly. And you know, I still have a lot of questions. Man, if you read the Bible and you think you've got it all, you're probably missing a whole lot of it right there. Because we've been searching deep on them off Sundays. We've been looking at things that, man, it just boggles my mind. But his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered. When Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. Now, they was looked like they might have been two different crowds there. I don't know. I don't know exactly how to read this. But the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. That made an effect on them. When they seen that, you know, but I don't have to see the miracles that Jesus done. I read about them, and I believe them. Blessed are they that believe that have not seen. But they've actually seen this. They've seen Lazarus come out of the tomb. I mean, he was 4 days dead. Over there in that weather and that temperature and, you know, without embalming and all that stuff. I mean, they just throwed him in a cave, wrapped him up and throwed him in a cave. He's pretty raunchy, I'd say. But they'd seen that and they realized that. And they continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd was to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So it drawed more people. But now, let's look at this right here. I always look at Pharisees as a type of religion. Now, religion can be a bad thing. Religion can get you down. Religion can get you confused. Religion can hurt you. Religion can make a mess out of you if you don't watch out. If you get too religious. But the Pharisees said to one another, blaming to one another, look there, look what you've done. Don't you see that you're not gaining anything? It's not my fault, it's yours. Your fault. Da, 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 da. I remember a cartoon one time about a cat and a dog. I can't remember exactly what the cartoon was, but they had broke something And the person coming out that they broke, and one, both of them was going just like that. That's what religion does. It goes, you, you, you. Don't ever look back at me too much. But the Pharisees said one to another, and you know, I can understand the Pharisees, especially after that one podcast that we looked at. That really, really helped me to understand what the Pharisees, I mean, they had good intentions. It wasn't that they had bad intentions. But you know, sometimes good intentions ain't always the best. And the Pharisees really wanted, they really wanted God's will and work to be done. But the only thing I can see is sometimes it went too far. But you see that you're gaining nothing. They said one to another. It's like me telling Travis, you ain't doing no good. Well, you say back, well, you ain't either. You're same as I am. You're right in the middle of it. You're just as much biggest duck in the pond as we are. But you see that you're gaining nothing. Look, I like its last part. I'm glad. Man, aren't you glad God so loved the world? The world is not just love, not the world, neither the things that's in the world. But it's God so loved the world. The world has gone after him. Now that's the story of Palm Sunday. That's where it all started toward the end, which was actually the beginning. If it would have ended in the tomb, we went to the tomb or the place where it's supposed to be. There's so many, there's some religious group had their place where the tomb was at, and this their place where the tomb was at in the garden, and then that. So we just went to all of them. Now I don't know exactly which one it was, but I looked in. They wouldn't even no stone there. It already, I guess, I don't know what happened to it. But I looked in, Jesus wasn't in there. Because on the third day he resurrected. But this right here, this Passion Week led up to that. Is there any more, Chad? I think this is it. Okay. So let's pray, Father. As we look on this week and realize who you are and what you are and what you're about and what your Son, the only one, the only begotten, the true and the living, Lord, we're thankful. We're glad that you love an old sinner like me. We're glad that you care for a person that's really in myself not worth anything. But Lord, in you we're everything. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your kindness and your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we're thankful for what you're about and what you're going to be. And Lord, one day, as you come in lowly riding on a foal of a colt, we're going to see you riding in on a white horse. We're going to see that power. We're going to see that glory. We're going to see everything done right then. That's when everything will be perfect. That's when everything will come together. Father, right now we're living in chaos. We know that. We might think we have the answers, but a lot of times we don't. But Lord, I know you have the answers. I know you're correct in every way. I know that you love us beyond anything that's ever been. And it just feels so good to know that. So Lord, bless these, your people. Bless each and every one in here. Touch hearts and touch lives, Lord. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.